Well, good morning, Church. Today we continue with our ministry series, But God. And that should come up on the screen. In our series so far, we have been reminded that But God has introduced the message of the gracious and compassionate intervention of God. These two words, but God, capture the nature of our God. He is perfectly just, merciful, and forgiving. His grace and love are unmatched. He is everywhere and all-knowing. All is lost, and then we hear, but God. He intervenes. He saves. And if you are a Christian, you have had the most important but God moment in your life. The Apostle Paul explained this moment to the Ephesian believers in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 of his letter to them when he said, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life, and he raised Christ, when he raised Christ from the dead." Aren't you glad about that but God intervention? I sure am. Well, we learn from the passage of scripture we're about to read that Joseph had a but God moment in his life too. It happened while he was talking to his brothers. So if you have a Bible, will you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, and we'll be reading from verses 14 through to 21. The reading that I will be taking is from the New American Standard Bible, and it will appear on the screen, so if you would like to follow that, you're welcome to. Genesis 50, verses 14. "And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers, and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?' So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father charged before he died, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Let's pray. Father God, we pray that the lessons that we learn from your word today will find a resting place in our hearts. And Lord, may by your grace, each one of us determine not to be mere hearers of the word, but doers also. For we pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Now, I'm sure that you're all well aware of the life of Joseph and the many lessons that we can learn from looking at his life, in particular, his faithfulness to God and his willingness to forgive his brothers who sold him into slavery. And I thought the kids did a great job there too, so good on you. Well, if you aren't familiar with that story, you can certainly read it in the book of Genesis, and you start at chapter 37 and it'll take you right through to chapter 50. However, for our message today, I want us to consider the lesson in Joseph's life of how to deal with adversity. Joseph definitely was hit with much adversity. Hated and betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused, and also imprisoned in Egypt. Now, let me explain that adversity is a difficult or unpleasant situation or circumstance that includes hardship, trouble, affliction, distress, suffering, opposition, pressure, chastening, or any trial that is greater than our ability to resolve. And when adversity comes to us, if you're like me, often our first response is to try to remove it or to deal with it on our own. But we need to understand that God is at work in our lives. For example, it may be that God is trying to get our attention. 1 Peter 1:7 says that these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. Or it may be assuring us of his love. In Hebrews 12:6 we read, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes those he accepts as his children." Or thirdly, he may be calling us to self-examination. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "But if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God." Therefore, adversity can be our greatest motivation for spiritual growth or our deadliest means of discouragement. The difference depends upon our understanding of God's purposes through adversity. So I ask this question: how do you respond to adversity when it comes? Do you resist and fight against it? Or do you allow God to have his own way in your life as Joseph did? Well, I believe that there are three important themes that we can take from this "but God" verse found in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 that provide us with the answer when experiencing any form of adversity in our life. Firstly, the presence of God. But God. Joseph openly acknowledged God's presence with his statement, "but God." These two words reveal that God was important in his life. In Genesis 39, at the onset of Joseph's enslavement in Egypt, God's presence with Joseph was mentioned four times. We read, "The Lord was with Joseph." And although God's presence did not change Joseph's circumstance, it empowered Joseph to remain patient and faithful within the present problem. Though separated from his family, wrongfully accused of indecency, and forced into slavery, Joseph was sustained by God's presence. Dear Christian friends, during these difficult times of a pandemic, financial stresses, and other associated challenges in our lives, God wants us to find comfort and assurance in his presence. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, we have the promise that when we put our faith in Jesus, God gives us his Spirit, which dwells with us and in us, and he has promised never to leave us or to forsake us. He is forever our constant companion. He longs to make the reality of his presence known to us. But in the stress and rush of our lives, it can be a challenge to recognize that he is with us. And when we don't sense God is there, it's not because he's absent. It's because we have not developed a deep awareness of his presence. And that takes practice by spending time in prayer and reading and meditating on his word. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." Do you yearn to know him better, love him better, to spend time in his presence, and be more conformed to his will and likeness? Do you? You know, sometimes in life, things choke and hinder us from knowing the presence of God. An unconfessed sin, a financial burden, a health issue, a job, an unresolved conflict with someone in the past, a failed relationship, fear, anger, stress, and the list could go on. Even if your life feels spiritually dry, you should not run away from God's presence. You have to run to it. When we live outside of God's presence, there is no rest, there's no peace, there's no joy. But living with a conscious awareness of God's presence can and should make a significant and positive difference in the life of every Christian. You see, it is so important to know in your heart that God is present and in control of your life. Do you have that assurance? Or has the busyness of life and the demands that it brings caused you to be in a zone where prayer and reading the Bible seem like meaningless mechanical exercises? The presence of God. When we experience any form of adversity, an awareness of God's presence in our life will remind us that he keeps us and that he cares about us. Yes, the harsh reality of life can sometimes knock us down. But the life of Joseph demonstrates God's ability to transform undeserved adversities into a positive result. The presence of God, but God. Secondly, the power of God. Verse 20 reads, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." God meant it for good. Joseph was making a statement here about what God is able to do. It was a profound statement, teaching us of the power of God to work in hidden ways and do what Romans 8:28 says, working all things together for good of those who love God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, was not expressing some kind of wishful thinking or a pie-in-the-sky dream. He was reminding his readers of a precious and powerful effect. All things work together for good. He says all things, meaning everything, good and bad, happy or sad, pleasureful or painful, all things. Let's say that, all things, all things. And although Joseph experienced both the good and bad things in his life, he knew the fact that God was sovereignly at work in his life, and as a result, it was God's right and power to do all that he decided to do. And because his faith was firm in his God, and God works powerfully through him, the harm intended by his brothers, God turned this evil around into good. Who else could do that but God? Who else? God is so powerful. You know, laying hold of the power of God has been one of the great challenges in my walk with Jesus. Sometimes I attempt to solve things on my own, when God wants me to rely on him. And what I've come to learn over the years is that I don't need to ask God for the power because, wait for it, we already have it. And the Lord still works powerfully in us today through his indwelling spirit. His supernatural power is shown in a variety of ways. A life changed dramatically and permanently. An answered prayer, giving us direction, and influencing events to accomplish what we never could on our own. Nothing is impossible for God. And he's always working. And of course, the greatest way that you and I have experienced God's power is in our salvation. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." And since as believers, we have experienced the greatest miracle, why would we not continually expect God to work powerfully in our lives, or in powerful ways in our lives, to deal with any adversity that we may encounter? He can handle anything. And we can have, as a result of that, acknowledging his presence and acknowledging his power, we can live lives that have a testimony that is honoring to him. The secret of drawing on that power is one of faith. And so that we live by the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5. Listen, dear friends, we have no idea. We have no idea what the Spirit of God can do within us if we surrender everything to Him and, like Joseph, live with constant recognition of His promised presence and His incredible greatness of His power. We need to continually remind ourselves that God, our God, is all-powerful. So learn to rest in His power. And when you begin to see it and experience it, don't forget to give Him the glory. The presence of God, but God. The power of God is for you. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And thirdly, the purposes of God. In order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people. God had a purpose for Joseph's life, which was to save a countless number of lives from starvation. We are told in Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12, that as a child of God, we too have the promise that God has called us according to His own purposes and for His own reasons. Have you seen the hand of God in your life, directing your path through both good and bad times? I certainly have. And I suspect that each of us can reflect on different times and events in our lives when we saw God at work. And because He is sovereign God, He is not caught by surprise at what is happening in our life. Like Joseph, He is perfectly executing what He has planned for us on time and on schedule. What is even more important is that God, in His love, always wants what is best for us. And His wisdom always knows what is best for us. And what we must realize is that God has the end in view, while we only have the present. God sees our entire life, and He is preparing for us what is ahead. Therefore, we can trust Him with our lives, because only He knows our ending from our beginning. And in the end, He will work it all out for our good when we love Him and give Him first place in His life, in our lives, allowing His power to work in and through us so that we are in partnership with His plans and purposes. And what is exciting is that someday we will see the fullness of that grand design, and we'll see how even our hurts and our pain fits into God's overall plan. Do you know something? We may miss God's purpose in the adversity if our focus is only on what is happening to us, and not on what God wants to happen to us. So when adversity comes into your life, it doesn't mean we'll always be able to figure out the details, for it's not up to us to understand the ways of God. Like Joseph, our place is to trust that He is present and in control of our lives, and that He is, and that His sovereignty has the power to bring about what is best for us. So when you're going through difficult circumstances, don't walk away from God. Just because God doesn't bring that particular trial to an end, maintain your faith at all times. He loves you, He cares about you, and He's going to be there for you every step of the way. You just have to put your trust in Him and endure for a season and accept any adversity as the will of God and as a means to grow in grace and holiness. In Proverbs 16:4, we read, the Lord works out everything for his own purposes. And Psalm 57 verse 2 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. This is key in understanding God's purpose for your life. God has assured us that he has a purpose for each of us. That purpose is good, because God is good. Yes, adversity in our life is a normal reaction, but we must give way to the acceptance of God's plan. And you should never forget that since you belong to Jesus through faith, God's purpose, or his purpose, his ultimate aim, his goal in everything that happens to us, is to conform us to the image of his Son. His goal is to make us more and more like Jesus. More and more like Jesus. That's his goal. Well, the but God in the life of Joseph is a reminder for us of the wonderful way that God takes and uses the most painful and difficult circumstances in the life of the one that is trusting in him to bring about good, not only for ourselves, but for the many other people that touch our lives. Application. As you consider your life today, which of these three things speaks most to you where you are right now with regards to any adversity in your life? One, the presence of God. Are you aware of God's presence in your daily life? Are you? Does he have first place in your life? Does he? If not, perhaps today is the day that you need to make a commitment to pray that God will help you to be more consciously aware of his presence, so that you will have the peace and hope and the spiritual strength that you need to cope with whatever life brings to you. Are you aware of God's presence in your life? The power of God. Do you realize that as a Christian, that within you is the omnipotence of God? And as a result, the good news is that there is no problem in your life that he can't overcome. No problem. Satan never triumphs. Or he may press. Though people may disappoint. Though life as we know it can unravel. They don't get the final say. The Bible says, the greater that is he, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Do you believe that? The presence of God. Are you aware of God's presence in your life? The power of God. Do you believe that there is no problem in your life God cannot overcome? Purposes of God. Do you trust in God's sovereign plan for your life? That God, no matter the circumstances, God holds the ending. While we may not be called, as Joseph was, to save a nation from starvation, we are no less significant to God. No matter what is happening in your life today, be encouraged, because God is in control and he always works for good. He did that in Joseph's life, and he will do it in yours. Believe in his greater purpose. And remember this, there is always, always, always a but God. A but God to remind us of God's faithfulness, availability, and goodness in and for our lives. But maybe as a Christian you are here today or watching online and you are going through a deep wounding right now or have in the past. Do you need to take some steps toward forgiveness? Do you need to help seeing God's greater purpose in your pain? If so, I encourage you to seek out someone who will pray with you and help you to rediscover your sufficiency in Jesus. On the other hand, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life, so you don't have an awareness of his presence, power, and purpose in and for you. If that is the case, I strongly encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to make known God's nearness to you, to seek his presence, and to have faith in his word, that when you seek him, you will find him. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth." James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This is a promise that God gives us in his word. He longs for you. He longs for you to place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary and know the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus died in your place that you might be saved. Acts 2:21 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can do that now, right where you are. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that when troubles and hardships come our way, that we may trust you implicitly and by faith, rest in the truth of your word, knowing that you work all things for good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing grace, for it's always sufficient, no matter what adversity we face. We thank you in the wonderful and mighty name of our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.